Hello and welcome to a special supplemental edition of the Day Trippers to preview the Sunderland game and review the incident on Wednesday night. We have a stripped down crew tonight in the absence of the newly married Stephen Brown. Congratulations to himself and Andrea, by the way. I'm Trevor Downey and my fellow Day Trippers tonight are Phil Casey and Andy Young. Phil, let's start by looking back at Wednesday's defeat. What went wrong apart from a pathological inability to have all 11 players concentrate whilst defending set pieces, or was that just it?
I think, Trev, at this stage, and we discussed this on Monday night, it's, yeah, I think, Trev, we're going past the stage where we have an inability or a mistake. We're making a mistake on a constant basis, and it's the same type of mistake. It's coming off set pieces. It's coming off the same type of set pieces. It's another head, another cross into the box that we can't defend, and it seems to be, I don't know, it gets past the stage where it is a mistake that leads to, okay, Gerard gets under the ball. But Enrique, man, he runs it halfway across the goal and just stops. It's like somebody hit an off switch and he just stopped, right? Had he continued to go with Hernandez, he would at least get a block. It may still go into the net, but at least he gets a block and he stops him from having a free shot. In the end, he has a free shot and go. I'd ask the question, could Mignolet perhaps come? Look where the ball dropped in the 6-yard box. It's gone over Gerard's head, fair enough, at the front part, but like Hernandez is hitting it 4 yards out at foot level. So it's travelled a bit, like, you know, it's dropped in nicely for him and he's finished it off. I just wonder, is it actually, we keep coming back to singular mistakes, but singular mistakes on a repetitive basis becomes a bit systemic, if you ask me. And I'm just wondering, are we practicing defending corners? Practicing defending set pieces again at the weekend? It was a set piece that cost us. So I don't know. I think it's systemic at this stage. I think there's, yes, errors creep in. You can't legislate for errors, but when you're making errors on a constant basis in the same situation, then it's a systemic issue as opposed to a player issue or a personnel issue at this stage.
Well, that's fair enough, and I suppose that, as you say, that opens it up to a wider issue. Andy, would you agree that there's more to it than just individual errors on a consistent sort of accidental basis, or do you think it's a broader issue where to do with coaching?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to know. Like, I mean, we have got a bit of a reputation now for being poor defending set pieces, and we touched on this on the show the other night as well about how bad we can be at set pieces. I was just making a point, it just seems to be across the board in the Premier League that defending the set pieces is just disgraceful. The standard of marking, positional wise, tactically, it's just Liverpool are just another team that are very poor from set pieces. The amount of goals scored from set pieces in the Premier League is just incredible, like, you know. Going back to the other night, just rather than echoing what Phil was saying, like, you know, I mean, quite often a mistake or a lapse in concentration decides these games. I mean, what didn't maybe work for us was going forward. I mean, the Liverpool played well. They played really well at times. The problem was, you know, what we did in the final third. I think the system worked quite well, but Moses probably wasn't the most suitable player to play kind of the link between midfield and the strikers. Sturridge and Suarez looked dangerous when they got a chance. I think maybe a fitter Sturridge and, you know, a sharper Suarez, Liverpool could have won that game, maybe took their chances in 1-2-1. But again, it just came down to the mistake by Enrique. I was sorry I was praising there at half time. I think he had a really, really good first half, but his head was left in the dressing room there early on.
I think that he kind of lured us all in, didn't he? Because he was, to be fair, he was pretty impressive in the first half. He was muscular and he was athletic and actually distributed the ball quite well. And then he did what Enrique does, which is turn his brain off, and that's us done.
Yeah, and I mean, he did play quite well, and with the defensive responsibilities taken away, I suppose there was less pressure on him. He did well on the ball, which he normally does, and he kept the ball well. And he done bits and pieces. He kept, it's not hard, but he kept Nani quiet and that. But you know, it was just disappointing that they lost it in such a way. It was quite like the reverse fixture in Anfield a couple of weeks ago. Liverpool had all the possession this time, but United did defend quite well and they limited Liverpool.
Well, I like the ideas that you were bringing up there, and I might bring Phil back in on this. My own thoughts on it were that, yeah, the mistake was there, but there were a couple of other areas that I think, like Andy, that if they had gone differently, the game was there for us. I do think a fit Sturridge makes a difference. I do think a sharp Suarez would have made a difference. I do think a more mobile central midfield in the second half makes a difference. Would you agree with those ideas, Phil, or would you have any separate of your own?
I think it comes back to a common issue we've had over the last 3 or 4 years. It's always the small things, it's always the small details which are costing us results. It was the same under Kenny, it was the same in the last year of Rafa, and we've got, again, we're talking about small details. And if it had been this, it would have been this. But I'm sorry, but the result is ultimately what we have at the end of the day. Again, it's a League Cup match. I was disappointed myself with the lineup. I said it on the other day. I would have preferred a more experimental lineup, considering that wasn't United's first team that we played against either. We should have won the game, and I'll make no bones about it. We made enough chances and made enough clear-cut chances, which was great to see in the second half to win the game. Right? The substitution of Lucas should have come at half time, or even possibly Gerrard at half time. Because I don't want to get on one another's back, right? But I just think it was actually interesting. The last 20 minutes, Kolo Touré was our most advanced central midfielder, and he was coming from right centre back. And do you know what? I know we're going to come on to the preview, but I mentioned this in the rehearsal back, talking about Danny Agger playing as a defensive midfielder, right? But looking at the way Kolo Touré played on Wednesday night, I'd have no issue playing him is alongside somebody in the centre midfield, one of Lucas or Gerrard. Now, I know we're getting on to the preview, but the drive he had over the last 20 minutes for a guy who's 32, and he was the one that was driving our midfield on, well, I thought Gerrard was incredibly. In fact, I thought they'd swap positions for most of those last 20, 25 minutes in terms of where they actually were. And that's not to get us back. If they have swapped positions, fine, because Torre was doing a fine job driving that midfield on. I'm really disappointed in the end that we didn't win the game. I'm disappointed we didn't score. It comes back that Sturridge is the only one to have scored for us, and it'd be nice to see somebody else score and just get that monkey off the back. That Moses chance, the header, my God, like you're talking half an inch left or right to the guy's hand, and well, more 2 or 3 inches away or left of him, and it's a goal because the power in the header was vicious. It just looked straight at the guy, and that can change a game because we. I think we were by far the stronger team. United defended well, but we have made enough chances to win that game. But again, it's small details, Trev. We keep talking with small details,
Sure. It would be remiss of us not to speak about the system that was implemented by Rodgers in defence. What did we think of the three at the back with the wing backs? I'll go back to you, Andy, on that. How did you feel that worked, or how do you think people did?
Yeah, I think it worked very well. I definitely think it's going to be something that he's going to look at more and more as the season goes on. The one downside to it is the fact that he's a year there now, and he still seems to be maybe picking systems to suit the players. Like, okay, I know there was injuries involved, but we seen last week he wanted to play the four centre backs. He was determined to play three of them again because Agger was unfit. So that's why he's come up with that system. Not because it was a genius idea how they were going to get at United or how, it was going to happen. But I think it's going to be something we're going to definitely see at the weekend again. I think it worked well, especially with Lucas hasn't been doing that job where he's getting across to full backs and giving a dig out. Now it means one of the centre backs can go across and give the wing back a dig out, and Lucas can kind of stay in and fit in the middle, and it means he can be less mobile. I mean, I know we don't want that, but I think defensively wise, it's going to work better. And going forward, it does seem to free up the midfield a little bit more. So I was happy enough the way it worked out.
And what did you think, Andy, of the impact it had on the team at the top end of the pitch? This idea of a two of Suarez and Sturridge, how do you think they work together? Now, granted, we've got two men there who are half power, but what did you think?
It certainly means, and they have worked quite well out of the second half of last season as a partnership, be it one or the other playing wide or one or the other playing deeper. They have worked well together. They seem to think well together. They don't get in each other's ways. They make separate runs. They have different ideas about each other. But up top as a two, yeah, definitely. It takes away the wonder and whether who's going to play out wide, you know, with Sturridge scoring a couple of goals and Suarez coming in, we know he's strongest through the middle. It takes away that decision for Rodgers, and I think if you just play the two up top, it's going to work best, because they both like to roam, they both like to come short for a ball as well. Like, I think it's probably the best way to play the pair of them is up together in a two.
Sure. Phil, what do you think with regard to the system that was implemented? Any thoughts on that in particular?
I've no issues with the system. I like the idea of a 3-4-2-1 in general to combat a 4-3-3 or a 4-2-3-1. Mazzarri at Napoli the last season, that was his preferred setup. I remember him taking Mancini's Man City apart the year before last in the Champions League as well with the similar type setup. Have we got the players at the moment to play a 3-4-2-1? That's, again, it comes back down to the bodies that we have. We have Enrique. We know that he's liable to torn off at times. We've signed the young lad, Ilori. He wasn't even in the squad on Wednesday night. Baffling to me. Alberto sits on the bench, doesn't get a run. We still have an issue with the 10 or that position in that formation. If we're going 3-5-2, you still need an attacking midfielder to link the midfield to the two that's there.
Can I ask you about Alberto, Phil? Because my thinking on Alberto is, he's not a kid. We paid, what was it, 7 million, am I right? 7 million for him. He's not a child. He's 21, he's 22. The guy should be ready to play. He should be capable of starting. Why is he not contributing when we've clearly got issues with creativity around the midfield?
Trevor, again, if I rather than go to one player, we're dealing with the concept that Alberto is a 10, right, and that he can fulfil that function as a 10. Based on a couple of appearances in friendly matches, which we've said means very little, gives you a hint to where the player was. When he played at Barcelona, his position wasn't a 10. He was playing as a wing forward or as a false nine, right? So again, he'll have to come in and step into 10. We're trying to create a player as opposed to taking possibly the best number 10 in the club that we have outside of possibly the best number 10. I'd still argue that Coutinho is not yet a fully fledged number 10 and may not be. He's better than off the left-hand side for me. But we still have the best number 10 we have in the club playing in front of the back four and not affecting the game the way he can do. But Andy was talking about it's to allow for the lack of mobility possibly in the centre midfield. Why not put Henderson and Lucas beside each other and push Gerrard on and say, look, Stevie, don't bother coming back into your own half. We want you to affect the top half of the pitch. You can save your energy. Use all your energy in that top half of the pitch and create and destroy. Just create and destroy for us and do all your damage up that end. I know, look, it's good. I don't want to get boring around this point, right? But yeah, coming back to the Alberto bit, he could potentially play 10. He has all the attributes to play 10. He lacks a bit of pace. And people last year were saying about Suso being a 10, saying, oh, he lacks a bit of pace, but he's a great eye for a pass, right? We've got a taller version. We've got effectively a player who reminds me an awful lot of Aquilani in style, more so than say Suso or even Coutinho, because of the perceived lack of pace that he has there. Would I play him? I would like to see him given a chance, whether it's 90 minutes or 20 minutes towards the end, especially like we have nothing to lose at 1-0 down against United. It would have been nice to see him on the pitch and maybe to affect
exactly. And you've got no arguments for me on the Gerrard thing as well. I've been beating that drum for a long time. Look, I suppose we better move along, gents, to the second part of what we're here to do today, which is look at the next matchup, which of course is Sunderland. What needs changing tactically, in terms of personnel? What needs changing? And then realistically, what will change? I'll put the two-pronged question to Andy there first.
I think what's going to happen is Agar's going to be fit, I believe. So he probably just come in for Saka, who looked a bit dodgy again. And I think he's pretty much just going to go with what he had the other night. With Henderson kind of playing that wing back role, unless Kelly comes in, I'd like to see Kelly come in and maybe move Henderson into the middle.
Andy, can I just ask, did you really think Saka was dodgy on Wednesday night? I thought he looked a hell of a lot more composed. I think he's grown in every game.
Yeah, he is. I accept that he is growing in every game, but I still do think he's a few games off readiness. Now I know he's not going to get that match fitness unless he plays. But I'd be way more confident with Agar Skirtle and Toure as that three, which I firmly believe he will play that three again. Just feel Sacco's a bit of a liability at the moment. I think he'll go with Mignolet again, Toure or Skirtle. Enrique playing that wing back role, probably Hendo, although I would like to see Kelly play, and maybe Henderson move into the middle with Gerrard and drop Lucas, because we've talked about Lucas not having 60 minutes, and he didn't have 45 minutes, and you're like, I don't know, has he got the flu? Is there something wrong with you tonight? Because he seemed even less mobile than he normally was. Moses isn't really going to play that in behind the two role well. I don't see him playing there often this season, but at the moment it's the only thing we have, and then play Sturridge and Suarez up top. So the only changes I could actually see happen is Agger, but I'd like to see Kelly start and okay. maybe just drop. I don't want to see Gerrard dropped. I'm not going to get into that one. I know Phil and probably yourself and Steve think that he should be dropped, but I'd probably still be sticking with Gerrard and dropping Lucas if anyone. Because Gerrard is an obvious one, because we're so used to seeing Gerrard quality. Lucas is being worse than, let's face it.
Okay, well, for the record, and seeing as this is going to be listened to by several people, I'm not advocating dropping Gerrard personally. I do think the man could do with a rest. That's a very different
thing.
I do think he could do with a rest. I would like to see him play further forward. I think that would have minimised the rest he needs to take. Anyway, what I would like to ask Phil there is, would you pretty much agree with that in terms of changes that could do with being made?
I'd like to see us go back to a back four for this game. I want to see Kelly on the pitch at Whitefoot. I want to see Sacco and Toure at the centre halves, and I also want to see Agger at left foot. I know it might seem Agger has played at left foot. I remember playing the semi final against Everton the season before last at left foot. He's capable of playing it. He can get up and down the pitch. I don't see any reason why not to play him there. Centre mid, I'd have Hendo and Andy. Strange enough, I'd play Gerrard again in the centre mid, right? And my thinking is, I'd rather see Gerrard put in 45 good ones, 45 to 60 good ones, take him off and put Lucas in, and hopefully at that stage we're a goal or two up, right?
Well, hang about. I'm going to cut across you there, Phil, because what we've got now, two in a row, two contributors in a row of the three are suggesting that Lucas does not start. Am I getting this correct? In the week in which he's been selected for the Brazilian national squad, interestingly enough, what you guys are both telling me is that you're suggesting Lucas does not start. Is that correct?
Trev, I said on Monday that the Lucas Gerrard midfield doesn't work, right?
Sure.
So if Lucas plays, Gerrard doesn't play, and if Gerrard plays, Lucas doesn't play, right? We're playing away from home. I'm expecting Sunderland to come out at us. They won't. I don't think they'll sit back and try to defend and hold for a nil-all, right? I think they've nothing to lose because they've no manager in place at the moment. And I think Gerrard is a better counter-attacking passer than Lucas is, okay? So if you have Henderson has the legs beside him, then get up and down the pitch. Gives him much more protection than Lucas will, because Lucas doesn't have the legs to get up and down the pitch. I have the two of them there, and then I'd go up top. Then I'd have Suarez coming in off the right, Moses coming in off the left, Sturridge, and then I'd play Alberto. I'd see him on for 20 minutes, but at this stage, in terms of what we have, I was hoping Alan would be fit, but it looks like he's miles off fitness, going by Rogers' comments today.
It's very vague, isn't it? It's very, very vague what's going on with Joe Allen and his injury situation. It's very quiet. It's worrying almost.
Well, they said they were expecting him back, and then they don't expect him back, and he still has work to do. So it's a very strange one. It's very, very strange if you ask me. But it's not strange. It could be if I'm being honest, they probably don't know, because it's a hamstring injury, and hamstring injuries by their nature can take a short time to heal, or they can take a longer time to heal. Rush a player back off a hamstring injury and he tears it and he's gone for a longer spell, or develops a weakness in the hamstring. So they're probably just playing it safe. What I don't get is that Rodgers has to see he has an issue in midfield, and he must prefer to have Allen back in that midfield, or at least to give him another option to play in midfield. So I don't know. It just seems strange. Okay, look, I'll take it at face value and say that the guy is actually is struggling to get over the hamstring injury, and they can't put a date in it because of the nature of our hamstring injury.
And at the top end of the pitch, Phil, how do you see things looking?
Again, I said Moses, Sturridge, and Suarez, because I think Suarez and Moses have the capability to interchange from an attack from either side. I think Aggers can play as an attacking left foot, and although Kelly may not be as effective as Johnson, he can get on. We've seen him play well, and he does get down the flanks, and he's probably a bit braver in terms of attacking the other team's half than, say, Wisdom is. But I'm looking at that's a strong aerial defence as well, and Kelly, Agger, Torre and Sacco. So they've got Altidore and a couple of the likes of Craig Adder and all who are strong in the air for Sunderland, so they can deal with the aerial threat.
Yeah. Well, for what it's worth, I would agree more or less with the idea of a back four myself. I'd like to see that too, with exactly the same personnel as yourself. I think Henderson plays centre mid. I think he should play. I don't think he will play. I think he should play centre mid alongside Lucas. I do think Gerrard's due a step out. I think that was as poor as I've ever seen him the last day. It's not Gerrard bashing because I love the kid. I just think he needs to step out. And I'd be inclined to try that front three again because, I don't know, I'd like to see Moses have another go. He didn't seem himself the other night. He didn't seem as sharp as he had in the previous game. And I'd like to see him try that again. For what it's worth,
just to cut across here, right?
Yeah,
I would. I'm one thing I question from Wednesday night. We put Raheem Sterling in again, okay?
Yeah.
Now I think he had a bit more of an effect in the game than he's had for a while. He managed to break some tackles. He managed to get a couple of runs going. While it wasn't vintage wing play, he looked a bit better and a bit more confident than he was, right?
Yeah.
I'd be questioning why we haven't used Ibe. My God, the guy had a fantastic preseason. He looked very good when he played against QPR last year. He's stronger than Sterling. He has the backside as you can see. He's got a powerful set of legs. He reminds me and build an awful lot more of Oxlade-Chamberlain than he does anyone else. And I can't, again, it comes back to Rodgers' selection, and especially in League Cup games. We've played two League Cup games, and we've gotten, in terms of player development, very little out of it.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true. And he, to be fair, the kid looks very exciting. He looks very capable, and he looks, as you say, to have the physicality. And at the moment, I would have thought, in terms of the drive, he has the edge on Sterling. But again, it doesn't seem like Brendan's too ready to risk him at this point. Let's move on, gents, because we want to wrap this up to predictions. Andy, how do you see it going in terms of a scoreline?
Yeah, it's such a dodgy one with the manager going, with Canio going. Where the team underperformed because they were a bit rebellious against them, and they weren't fancying them at all. You know, so do they have a point to prove? If they score first, they're going to have such a belief about them, and it could just be a really, really dodgy fixture for us. So I just think it's really important they don't concede first. If Liverpool score first, it should knock their confidence, and I think you could be looking at a game where Liverpool finally do score a few goals. So I'm gonna be positive, and I'm gonna predict 3-0 Liverpool, and Suarez to have a big say in them goals.
That's what we like to hear. That's lovely stuff. Phil, are you as optimistic?
Well, as ever, my predictions have been 100% right so far, with the 10-0 win over Southampton and the 5-0 win over United. I don't know whether I've invented this team in my head, but to me, Sunderland is a bogey team, and it has been a bogey team for a while. I can think of like being beaten up there. I can think of the 1-1 last year. I can think of mad games involving Momo Sissoko when he even managed to score, and we won that game, granted. I can think of the beach ball incident. I can think of Fathead with managing Sunderland for donkeys, right? I can't get that in my head. So I'll tell you what, right? I'm going to say Sunderland are going to win 6-0 on the basis that my previous two predictions have been equally as accurate. And Suarez will bite the beach ball, which will have something in it, and he'll probably fall over.
Brilliant. I'm going to take it a little bit back towards reality of my prediction. I think Andy might be onto something. I think Suarez, with another little bit of with that match practice under his belt, I think he might be ready to go. And I think Danny Sturridge probably can't be quite as quiet again. I think we're going to edge it by the odd goal. I hope that would be the way I'd look at it. Right, gents, I think we'll wrap it up if that's okay at this stage. I want to thank Phil Casey and Andy Young for the contributions. You've been listening to Day Trippers. I'm Trevor Denny. We'll speak to you next week.